Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. An Adaptive Studios production. Row after row of cartoon coins are stamped out. Sasha Pieters, Alexis G. Zoll. The cartoon discs fall and roll. Alex Saxon. Jay Walker. Coins pour into a tray. Mark Bloom. Neil Huff. The coins roll through gears. Michael Cyril Crichton. Blanche Baker, Connor Ratliff, Will Denton. Zach Broussard, Mohammed Cunningham, Andy Grotlution. Craig Walker, David Thompson, Slate Holmgren. Casting Director, Henry Russell Bergstein. Music Supervisor, Joe Rudge. Production Designer, Annie Simone. Costume Designer, Megan Spatz. Original Score by Jeremy William Smith and Tom Higginson. Editor, William Paley. Director of Photography, Noah Greenberg. Based on the novel by Elisa Ludwig. Executive Producers, Perrin Shiles, Mark Jobert. Executive Producers, Ian Brick, Sarah Ullman. Produced by Ash Christian, Anne Clemens, Claire Skoronik. Produced by TJ Barrick, Marshall Louis. A finished coin spins, bounces, and twirls until it falls on its side. Written and directed by Emily Hagens. Black letters appear. Coin heist. Outside a United States Mint building, a short teenage girl wearing a winter coat blinks up at a teenage boy in a ponytail.
I get it, I messed up. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't, you know, at least attempt to fix it. Even though I can't go back and change exactly how it is that I got there. I'm trying to say that I can't fail this time. So basically, the essence of my...
You know, trying to sound smart can sometimes work in reverse.
I'm not trying to sound smart.
Jason, I'm not going to change your grade.
Just a little? Like, temporarily?
If you want to pass bio, do what any of us do and study.
Alice.
I'm not going to feel sorry for the spoiled headmaster's kid, but if you want to try some other computer nerd, good luck.
A round-faced man with a beard and glasses beckons.
All right, gather around, design students. Come on, bring it in. We're gonna see some coins.
Come on, guys, please listen to Mr. Rankin.
Hey, Dakota, Dylan, come be in love over here.
Thank you.
All right, we're gonna go in. We're gonna use our inside voices. We're gonna be super respectful, really jazzed about coins, and we're gonna show them what kind of school Dennington Prep is.
Shitty one?
Jason.
That's hilarious. All right, guys, let's go. Let's please enter the building in a calm and orderly fashion.
You guys excited? Follow me. Let's not dilly-dally.
Dakota, a cherubic blonde, and the other students saunter into the building.
Good behavior, Jason.
An older man with a narrow face gives Jason a dirty look. The students pass through a metal detector, and Alice sets it off.
You're fine. Don't forget to take a pamphlet.
She smiles at the guard and takes a pamphlet. Mr. Rankin stands beside another bearded man.
Okay, guys. Mr. Garcia here is the operations manager, but he also happens to be my cousin. So, be cool.
Mr. Garcia speaks.
Here at the U.S. Mint, we are big fans of thorough design. In fact, I'm willing to bet that most of you have a few of our best designs in your own pockets.
Do you guys make credit cards?
No.
I only use credit cards.
No.
Dakota glares at Dylan.
You make quarters and stuff.
God.
Just don't let him
hear
Gray, Jason.
Shall we start the tour?
Yes.
Congress passed something called the Coinage Act in 1792, but
a lanky boy runs up to Alice.
Hey.
What did Jason Hodges want?
Nothing.
Wait, he didn't try to ask you out, did he?
Oh my God, shut up, Gray.
No, you're right. That'd be way too weird. You're not one of those Jason Hodges type girls anyway.
And what exactly is a Jason Hodges type girl?
You know, like, no makeup, effortlessly gorgeous, does well at parties. You're more of a no makeup, I don't care what people think about me. I'd rather be at home gaming type girl.
Thanks, Greg.
American State Quarter series, it's similar to that, but set in the wild as opposed to state-by-state specific.
Oh, he just asked me to change his grade for him, and I said no.
Okay, of course he asked you to change his grade.
Is that all people think we do? You know, I have a very important computer science project due fourth period, and I'm stuck on this field trip.
Speaking of that, I actually have it on my phone if you want to look.
Yeah.
Are you serious? A federal building with a web-encrypted Wi-Fi network? That's cute.
What a joke.
The coins are then heated in an annealing furnace in order to soften the metal for upsetting, striking, and washing. But here is where the magic begins, with highly skilled artists who mold and finesse the artwork, which will eventually be stamped onto each coin using one of these dies. It's that simple. Now, I've got a question for the class. Sometimes our inspectors will catch a flaw in a finished coin. Now, when that happens, the coin has to be scrapped. Every now and then, one of them gets out. It can be very lucrative for coin collectors. What do you imagine would be the cause of an error coin on a mechanical level?
Go ahead, Betty.
Well, if there's no metal for the dies to stamp, wouldn't they clash together?
Yes.
I'd imagine the machines are strong enough so that they would actually damage the dies, and any coins that get stamped after that would have clash marks on them.
Well done. No one ever gets the answer right.
What are you looking for, extra credit?
Okay. Well, you know what? At this moment, I'd like to open the floor to questions. If anything I've said is confusing, or if you'd like me to expand, I think it's very important.
Two police officers walk up behind the narrow-faced older man.
James Hodges?
Yes?
We're going to need you to come with us, sir.
Dad?
I can't leave right now. I'm on a field trip with students.
We're not asking.
All right. Can I just... That's my son. Can I have a word with my son, please?
No.
Officer.
No.
Okay, Jason, just call mom.
Hey.
It's all right. Just call your mother, Jason. Just call mom.
No phones or video allowed.
Okay, phones down. Eyes on Mr. Garcia. Okay, phones down, everyone. We're going to continue the tour.
Jason dials his phone.
Mom, Dad just got arrested.
They're at school, too. They've canceled classes and everything.
Okay,
I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know. We're going to continue the tour.
Yes, we are, really.
You think they'll make us go back to school?
In a living room.
$10 million, you have to understand our situation. Sarah, were you aware your husband was embezzling from the endowment?
No, of course not.
No, of course not. I'm sorry I had to ask.
Jason listens from the dining room.
Okay.
The balding man stands up and heads over to where Jason looks down at the open Chinese food containers sitting on the table in front of him.
Sorry to interrupt your
Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah, but I just wanted to let you both know that we're going to take care of this. It's going to be okay. Talk tomorrow.
Have a good night, Harold.
Yes.
Harold leaves, and Sarah turns her blonde head to watch him go, then steps next to her son.
He has to think about the board, Jason.
He's a dick.
Mr. Smirkonish is trying to help us. He's been trying to help the school for years.
She sits next to Jason.
Just like Dad.
Yeah. Just like Dad.
He's not guilty. He could never have done this.
He glances at her skeptically. Now, overcast daylight washes over the red brick and gray stone collegiate Gothic architecture of the Dennington Prep campus buildings. Small carved lions sit on pedestals just outside the stately home Jason steps out of. He plods down the front steps and heads away, one hand in the pocket of his fleece-lined denim jacket and the other holding a wine-colored backpack. Some passing students glance over at him as he walks past them. In an art classroom, Mr. Rankin glances at Benny's coin design sketches.
Benny?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Thanks.
Benny turns his shaved head back to his work.
Go down.
A few seats behind him, Jason glances out the window at a sculpture made of interlocking metal squares.
Well, I like it.
Jason looks back at Alice's pale face.
Nobody likes it.
I guess I'm no one then.
My dad says it's a symbol. It's part of his
big plan to make the school matter again.
It's just an expensive blob of metal.
Isn't it supposed to be a fountain of knowledge? Or a wave of bright, shining futures? Isn't that what he said at the unveiling assembly? Either way, I like it.
Alice, what you working on?
A new commemorative coin rendering.
Great, great. Jason, project? Yes, no, maybe.
Jason leans back on his stool.
All of the above.
Hodges, I know it's rough dealing with what your dad did and all, but do not blow this off. You're better than that.
In an auditorium.
I asked to make this announcement today because I thought you would appreciate hearing from a student. Someone who believes just as much as you guys do that extracurriculars and clubs are the heart of Dennington Prep. But as president of 6 after-school clubs, I am very sorry to announce that we have been forced to suspend all student activities due to compromised funding.
Clubs will be the first to go. This includes the following.
Ant farming, architecture, birding, chess, checkers, Chinese checkers, community service, creative writing, ethics, film views, gardening, inkwell, math team, mock trial, Queer Straight Alliance, robotics, Spanish language immersion, stock market watchers, theater, young Democrats, and young Republicans.
So all we have are classes now.
Everything is canceled except for yearbook, newspaper, and the winter formal. And also,
Dakota holds up a finger to her audience.
There will still be some major cutbacks to those areas as well. Unfortunately, the winter formal will be held in our cafeteria this year. It's not as bad of a space. It's not actually as bad as you think it is. Guys, it's going to be sorted out. We're going to be fine. Everything will be taken care of. I'm so sorry.
Later, she storms into a backstage storage room where Jason searches through tangled items.
What are you doing in here? You were supposed to be at the assembly.
One about how my dad ruined the school?
No, thank you. Looking for guitar strings. I left some in here last week.
That reminds me. We can't afford a real band to play formal, so we're gonna need your band to play.
My band's real.
Right. I just need to know if you can do it, Jay.
I don't know.
Your dad is the one that got us into this mess. Are you really gonna say no?
Fine. Yeah, we'll do it.
Well, is that a real commitment or is that a Jason Hodges commitment?
How long are you gonna hold that over my head? It's been over a year now, okay? I get it. You're perfect. You never made a mistake before.
Dated you.
Trust me. I'm everybody's mistake. Join the club.
I can't. They're all canceled.
In the hallway, Dakota walks up to Dylan and a brown-haired girl.
The cafeteria? Are you kidding me?
Maybe it could be lunch themed.
Guys, the committee met for 3 hours trying to figure this out. There's no other option.
Whatever. Thanks for canceling Chinese Checkers Club.
I didn't cancel anything. You know, I have to check something. I'll see you later.
She bumps into Benny.
Hi.
Hi. Good. Assembly.
Seriously? What do you have to complain about? It's not like I canceled football.
I was just saying you did a good job with all those people yelling and everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Outside, raw eggs slam into the metal sculpture as Jason passes by.
There he is. Hey, man. You know we're gonna try to sell this thing. Get our parents' money back. How's your dad like in jail?
Jason turns to Dylan, then storms directly toward him and his fellow egg tosser.
You one of those?
Jason grabs an egg.
Nice one.
Jason! We need to talk.
Ooh.
Screw you, Dylan.
Dylan and his friend leave.
I don't need you to feel bad for me.
I don't, remember? I told you yesterday. But I want to help. I think I can help.
You can't. Okay, unless you have $10 million.
We should go somewhere to talk.
In Jason's bedroom.
So, you know I've hacked into some places before.
Yeah. Like, grades and stuff, right?
Yeah, and some other stuff, too.
Like what?
Front office, school district, Google, IBM, TSA, NASA.
Are you serious?
Yes, but I didn't steal anything. I just wanted to see if I could get in, and I did. Anyway, when we were at the Mint, I noticed a few things. Their internal security is ridiculously outdated, and anyone could get into their corporate network with just
I'm not stealing money from anybody, especially not the U.S. government.
Okay. Well, if you are looking to save Dennington, your options are kind of limited, legally.
Why do you care so much about this? I thought you hated me.
I don't know. I guess I kind of know what it's like to have parents who do shitty things. And I saw the way people were looking at you and talking about you just because of what they think your dad did. I thought you might want to prove them wrong.
Alice slings her bag over her shoulder.
But I guess not.
She walks from the room. Now, Dakota sits at the dinner table looking at a brochure as her stylishly dressed parents stare at her.
Bertrand Academy, New Hampshire.
Yeah?
We spoke with the admissions director. If we send your transcripts and your test scores this week, she said she could schedule an interview.
You shouldn't have to give up your dreams over this.
My dreams?
Yes, your professional aspirations, dear.
Well, not that it matters much now. But I got cast as the lead in our school musical today.
Oh,
wow, that's
lovely.
Terrific, honey.
Anyway, the thing about a school like Bertrand is they have a rigorous maths program.
What about Philadelphia High School of Performing Arts?
For what?
All right, come on. Let's talk about this seriously. It's close enough to Brown that you can even see your sister on the weekends.
Yeah, you can see Steph.
Stephanie said that she would look into an internship for you through her journalism program. The Herald, right?
Daily Herald.
The Daily Herald.
She loved that.
Great job.
I cannot believe that you talked to her before you talked to me.
Well, I wanted her input.
What about my input? It's my life. You can't just send me 4 states away and expect my perfect sister to fix me.
We never said she would fix
me. I'm tired of student council and all the clubs that I run and everything that I have to do and be responsible for every day.
But you're so good at it, Dakota.
This spot at Bertrand is not going to stay open forever. We need to think seriously about this.
He blinks.
And right. I'm sure they have some kind of art.
Of course they do. Of course they do. We should get on this right away.
Jason lies on his bed, watching an old Michael Caine heist movie on television. Caine is working with a woman to steal a stone carving of a head.
Jason? Are you doing your homework?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
On the screen, a fake bookcase slides slowly aside, revealing a figure standing beyond it. Jason turns to look behind him, then climbs to the edge of his bed, running his hand through his dark blonde ponytail. Outside in the dark, Jason strides across the school's property, stopping to gaze at the lights from the buildings opposite him. He licks his lips, and his blue eyes dart from side to side as he takes in the view of the campus quad. He stands motionless now, alone in the dark. In shop class, Jason walks over to the table where Alice and Benny work.
Okay, I watched 12 heist movies.
In 3 days?
That's not the point. The point is that we can do this.
Benny glances at them. Alice moves a device away from Jason's hand.
Do you know what that is?
He picks the small contraption up.
I don't know why.
It's an alarm that I was making for my room. But I was hoping if I handed it to you, you'd start playing with it, and I could probably use it to prove a point.
A heavyset teacher walks over.
Give me that.
Jason hands it to the teacher, who tries to turn it off. Benny reaches over and clips a wire.
Good work, Benny. Hodges, you are not in this class. Get out of here.
Alice turns to Jason.
We need Benny.
Need me for what?
How were you able to do that so fast?
I work in my uncle's garage on the weekends. Idiots set off their own car alarms all the time. Funny. So you know how to work on machines? I'm a pretty decent mechanic, if that's what you're asking. What would you say to a mechanic-related job? One that could save the school?
Benny looks downward.
$10 million car repair?
I didn't say anything about cars.
Sounds illegal.
He returns to his project.
I mean it. Out.
Later, Jason and Alice sit at a table in the school library.
All of the heist movies that I watch had a team. I don't think we can do this alone.
Dakota walks in.
What about Dakota Cunningham? She's smart.
No, don't even think about it.
The blonde student struts over to their table.
Don't even think about what?
Nothing. Go away.
I know what's going on here.
You do?
And I'm shutting it down. Miss Coyle said that we have to be off campus by 4:15. You can't be creating your own club when everyone else had to cancel theirs. It's just not fair.
Alice grins.
Well, why don't you hear out
Alice,
what...
Miss Coyle gave you a little bit of authority and now you're running around school like you're in charge of everything. We're just sitting here studying. Go.
Do you want to help us figure out how to steal $10 million?
Excuse me, what?
Well...
We're not stealing, we're making.
Yeah.
We're going to break into the mint, print a few coins, and,
We're gonna rebuild the school's endowment.
Dakota throws her hands up and backs away.
God.
Jason rises and goes after her.
Dakota, where are you going?
I'm talking to Miss Coyle. I can't believe you do this.
Listen, I'm sorry that I was such a shitty boyfriend. I'm sorry that I got stoned and I forgot to take you to that audition. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for so many things right now. I don't even know where to begin. I'm just trying to fix it. Okay?
He brushes his hair back and trudges away as she sighs. Then, some other students walk by.
Hey, Dakota. Will they be serving, lunch at the lunch-themed dance?
She joins Jason and Alice back at their table.
I want in.
What?
Of course you do. This is not an opportunity to just boss us around.
Okay. I'll just leave and go tell Miss Coyle about this whole conversation.
Okay. Stop talking. You want to help? What can you do? What's your thing?
Alibis, planning, covers. You know how serious I am about organization.
Yeah, I do. She used to color code our entire dating schedule. It's horrible.
Thoughtful. I was very thoughtful. I also act, so I have access to the theater wardrobe department for anything that we need as far as covers go.
You act?
I just got cast in My Fair Lady.
Congrats.
Don't worry, I just got canceled.
Wonder why.
He glares at her.
You know what? I think this is going to work. But there is one thing that you have to do first. Do you know Benny from the football team?
In the hallway, Benny pulls a bag from his locker as a teacher walks over.
Benny, do you have a second?
Yeah.
I had a meeting with the bursar's office this morning, and in light of everything that's happened, it looks like the DM Jameson athletic scholarship is going to be discontinued.
But I was promised that money.
I know.
I kept my GPA up. I had a great season. I know the team doesn't need me right now.
No, look, Benny. You're not the only one. When I know more, you'll know more.
More what? Reasons to kick out the poor kids?
It's not about that.
As he walks away, hey. Dakota trots up to him.
I needed to talk to you. It's kind of like the other day where it was weird and awkward and I yelled at you. Did I ever apologize for that?
No.
I'm sorry.
He raises his eyebrows.
Anyway, I saw on your schedule that you have practice after school, so I was just hoping to catch you.
You know my schedule?
Well, I wanted to speak to you about Jason and Alice. There's
seriously?
This...
No, thanks.
He steps away.
Wait. You know more about machines than anyone else in this school. Did you know that you're the only person getting an A in robotics?
He squints.
I might have looked at your grades, too. I'm sorry.
Listen, I didn't leave my old school to come get arrested here for some dumb illegal plan the headmaster's kid came up with.
The school means too much to me.
I get it. But you might not have a school to go to if we don't do something about it.
Benny looks away.
We need you.
He locks eyes with her. Now, in a cluttered garage, Jason plays lead guitar, rehearsing with his three bandmates. A guy in dreadlocks stands in the middle, singing. Jason's mom sticks her head in.
Sorry to interrupt.
Jason.
She steps in.
Visiting hours are almost over.
You can go without me.
Will it be another week?
I know. I would, we have practice.
Sarah swallows, then looks at the other band members. Her lips tighten and she turns away.
Okay.
In the cafeteria, Alice and Greg grab food.
Bondi said you didn't like Jason products.
It's fine. Thanks. We're working on a project together.
Okay, hold on. So first you cancel on Friday night gaming, and now you're dropping out of lunch lab for some project?
It's not like a thing. We have a deadline.
Greg rolls his eyes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I see what it is.
What?
His dad's in jail. All of a sudden, he's got no friends, so where does he turn? He turns to you for some reason. You know, and you think it's good. You think, cool, Jason Hodges is my friend now. But the next thing you know, you're gonna start smoking marijuana cigarettes and playing cowbell in his band.
Greg, you're so weird. Relax.
Okay, but just don't blame me when you find out that he's using you. Okay, to him, you're just a computer nerd. You're just someone he can get a grade change from if he's nice enough to you.
That is so mean. Shut up.
He does have dreamy eyes, though. Yeah. I bet you just fall right into them, don't you?
You know what? I can't do next week either, Greg.
Fine. Friday night gaming is permanently canceled.
Fine. I gotta go.
Alice storms over to sit at Dakota and Jason's table, and Greg lopes away.
What is he on to us?
No, he's just an idiot.
Benny joins them.
So what are we doing?
I'm glad you changed your mind.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I have so far about Aerocords.
Mr. Rankin struts over.
Hey, you guys working on your project during lunch?
Yeah.
This is the only time we can meet for study group.
Your study group?
He grabs one of their books.
For art class.
What is the most difficult art class in the whole school?
It's the only art class in the school, Jason. Maybe if you study, you'll get a passing grade. This is cool.
Dakota snatches the book back.
We have a lot to finish before lunch is over, so.
Rankin squints suspiciously at them.
Carry on.
He saunters away.
Okay, we definitely have to find a new place to meet.
I've got a place we can go after school. It's not around here, though.
Later, in an auto mechanic shop, the four friends step in from the bright glare of the sun.
So we can come here after school, after my uncle closes up the shop. Just make yourselves at home, I guess.
Jason toys with a power tool. Benny pulls its plug.
Just don't touch anything unless I say you can, please.
Okay. What's your big plan, Jay?
Thank you.
Okay. So, in 2004, there was a so-called error coin that surfaced in Tucson and San Antonio. It was a Wisconsin state quarter, had like an extra leaf on the coin stock.
So, you want to replicate it?
Not exactly. Later on, they looked into the scientific makeup of the coin and figured out that the error was done on purpose.
How could that happen?
Well, in between the final heat treat and die hubbing, the die metal is actually soft enough that if you have the right tools, you can make a couple little changes.
She holds out the pamphlet.
If we get a die from one of the most recent state quarters,
such as the Wildlife of Michigan state quarter, which according to that pamphlet is set to begin production in early March.
You want to see it?
Yeah. We can make an alteration. Maybe an extra fin on that fish.
Yeah.
What would that go for?
We could probably sell them for like 5,000 each. We can make 2,000 coins.
like 25 pounds.
Okay, so we could definitely carry 25 pounds. But how are we going to convince coin collectors that they're worth $5,000 each?
Benny turns to Jason.
Well, I haven't worked all of it out yet.
But once he does, we'd be able to make back half the endowment in 6 months, which is enough to keep the school open for at least another year.
I will figure out how to get them onto the market. There's so many steps between now and then. I mean, first of all, we need a real staff ID from the Mint.
Once we have that, we can get in and set this thing up for real.
Dakota lifts her cleft chin.
I have an idea.
Back at the Mint, two guards sit near the entrance.
Will you get off your phone?
Why? What are you doing?
Hey.
Get off the phone.
Dakota watches them.
It's expensive.
Excuse me? Hi.
Hello.
I'm Jenna McNeil. I'm with the Brown Daily Herald. I have an appointment with Mr. Garcia.
Are you doing an article in the Mint?
Yes, actually, I am.
Think we might be in it?
Maybe.
That is exciting. Go on through.
Thank you.
Hold on. What did you say your name was again?
Jenna McNeil. I have an appointment at 12:30.
You don't want to be late.
No, we didn't hear anything about a reporter coming in today.
Glenn, you don't want a writing that everything in the Mint was great except for us. Okay? Going through and let me know if you
need
a
clue. I still need to see an ID.
Right. Of course.
She rummages nervously in her purse. Then Mr. Garcia walks up.
Hey, are you with the college newspaper?
Yes, I am.
All right, it's okay, guys. She's with me. Called yesterday about doing an interview.
No, but we got protocol here.
It's fine. Come on through.
Thank you.
I'll take you across the production floor.
So, does the article you're writing have a specific angle you're looking to emphasize, or are you just writing a general piece about the Mint?
Oh, we just want to know more about how coins influence the world around us.
Fantastic. Well, that's a great subject for an article, certainly. Now, you can't take any photographs of the production floor, but I thought it'd be useful for you to get a look around just to get a sense of how things run.
He uses his key card to unlock a door. Meanwhile, Benny peers at the parking garage.
Just keep watch upstairs. Dakota will text me when she's at the door.
All right. Let us know if you see anything down there.
An HVAC van pulls past Benny while Jason sits next to Alice in a car as she works on a laptop.
Hey, wait. I think I got something.
Jason turns to Alice.
Will you find Simeone and Son's HVAC on the schedule when you're in?
In Garcia's office.
Yeah, there's something modest about a coin. You know, there's an element of trust in that we all give it value and we all agree on that value. And there's a real purity to that it's a tactile symbol, you know? I could talk your ear off. Yeah, this facility actually has a very fascinating history. You know, I've got some background information on the first Mint. A lot of stuff from the Bicentennial Celebration. Would that be helpful for your research?
That would be amazing. Thank you.
Great.
He leans down to his desk drawer as Dakota spies his staff ID clipped to his jacket on a coat hook. She stands up and wanders towards it.
So, you've got two kids.
Yep. Nate is 2, and Samantha is 3.5.
Wow, that must be a lot for you and your wife.
Yeah, it is. I think it's here. Jess loves every minute of it.
I bet.
She snags the ID.
All right. Here you go.
Actually, would you mind making copies for the editor, if you don't mind?
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Garcia carries multiple thick files of paperwork out of his office, leaving Dakota alone. She slips out behind him and heads in the opposite direction. High above the production floor, Dakota strides down a long corridor featuring windows along one side which look out on the machinery and workers below. She disappears from view behind a wall, then shows up again striding past more windows. Her blonde head dips lower as she takes an unseen staircase down past white brick walls and dusty crisscrossed beams, heading toward the factory floor far below her. Dakota bursts out of a door on the production floor just as a worker wearing blue coveralls saunters by. She slowly closes the door behind her as the man continues walking, ignoring her. She turns and trots away, then reaches a closed door and swipes the stolen card across the reader.
Jason, please.
Her three friends slip in, Jason turning to wedge the door open.
Okay, how long will this thing take?
Depends on how complex the scan is, but we need as much info as possible to make a good copy.
This way.
Jason and Benny, both wearing blue coveralls, pull on protective goggles and step onto the production floor, while Dakota and Alice rush upstairs back toward Garcia's office. The two boys wend their way around the large pieces of machinery and coin-making equipment until they reach a metal waist-high cabinet near the artist's design station. High above them, the girls rush down the long corridor, glancing at the windows as they pass. Jason pulls out a drawer in the cabinet. Inside are labeled slots storing various different cylindrical coin dies, all face down. The boys glance at each other, and Jason steps away. Up in Garcia's office, Alice works on breaking into the operations manager's computer, while Dakota stands guard outside the door and tries to copy his ID using a handheld device. Someone walks past Dakota and she glances back through the glass doors to see Alice struggling, then looks down to see her device's readout says, "Copy failed." A scrap of paper beside Alice reads, "Mr. Garcia, Brad, Bradley, wife, yes, Jess, two kids, Samantha and Nate." She hacks her way in, smiling at the screen as she accesses security feeds and watches Garcia standing at a copy machine in another room. Down on the production floor, Jason searches around a work table and finds a laminated piece of paper, which he brings over to Benny. The paper reads, "Wildlife of America, Michigan State Quarter, Dye Stocking and Storage Schematic," and a drawing indicates where the dye is kept. They find the dye, and Benny reaches into the pocket of his coveralls, glancing anxiously around. He pulls out a small plastic canister filled with a clay-like mold putty, then presses the end of the dye into the soft material, making a perfect reverse impression of it. The two teens step behind a red welding curtain. Back at the office, Dakota's device reads, "Copy in progress." She taps on the glass and Alice nods. On the monitor, Alice sets preferences for exporting data as the security image shows Garcia finishing his copying and heading back. Downstairs, the boys lock the dye in a vise and Benny flips down a welding visor. He heats up the top of the dye with the flames of an acetylene torch. In the office, Alice continues copying data as Garcia appears on the monitor striding back down the hall to his office. Downstairs, Jason gently etches into the softened metal of the die with a sharp tool. The monitor reads, "Copying done," and Alice jots a few things down on a sticky note. Outside the office, Dakota looks down at her handheld device to see the display read, "Copy complete." Alice logs off the computer and grabs her notes, dashing out of the room past Dakota. Dakota rushes back in the office, clips the employee ID back to Garcia's jacket, and sits down, sliding her device inside her purse.
All right, I have it for you here. It's a lot, but I promise you, it's all interesting stuff.
Wow.
Garcia hands her a huge pile of papers, while below, Jason finishes etching a second upper fin on the fish into the dye. They step out from behind the welding curtain, putting their safety goggles back on, and Benny returns the die to its proper place in the metal drawer. Alice joins them, and the three, each wearing identical blue coveralls, stride across the production floor with Benny leading the way and Jason bringing up the rear. Alice glances back over her shoulder as they slip away. At Dennington Prep, the four friends run full speed down a hallway, then Mr. Rankin steps out behind them as they pass.
Hey!
He points to the door he came out of.
My classroom, now!
I know you guys are skipping class, and I don't know why, but I'll find out eventually, so why don't you just tell me now before I give you all detention?
But you don't know what we were doing. So, can we go?
No. And I absolutely refuse to believe that a student who has been suspended not once, but three times for illegal hacking activity is just skipping class for no reason. I should probably check your grades to make sure you're not—
I earn my grades!
I'm sure you do.
Man, don't judge her. That's not what's going on.
I am not man. I am Mr. Rankin. Now, why don't you tell me how the four of you ended up together?
Why wouldn't the four of us be together?
You know what I mean.
I don't.
We were working on your design project. It was way more work than we anticipated, so we decided to help each other. Skipped a few classes to finish it, but it won't happen again.
You skipped classes to do schoolwork.
Dakota nods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rankin grins and leans forward.
If I can prove that you were doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and I will, all four of you are going to be expelled.
If there's a school to be expelled from by the time you figure that out.
That's not my fault, Hodges.
Out in the hallway, Jason catches up with Alice.
Hey. You all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Bye.
The others walk past.
I'm used to it.
You shouldn't be. You shouldn't have said that. You're better than that. You're...
He shifts from one foot to the other as she stares up at him.
Anyways, I'll see you later.
Now, Dakota and Benny sit in a parked car.
Thanks for the ride.
Yeah. I looked at the reader. The scan was clean, so I should be able to make a copy tonight.
That's good.
She smiles faintly.
You've made IDs before?
He blinks and looks down.
Yeah. Yeah, made a few.
She turns toward the dashboard.
I'm not a criminal, you know.
No, that's not what I meant. At all. I'm sorry. It's not okay. I know what it feels like to have people expect you to be something that you're not. It's not fair.
Yeah. It's no secret that I got arrested before I came to Dennington. I only made 10 IDs. And I didn't even do it for the extra cash, you know. It was for people in my neighborhood who were getting stopped by immigration. Sometimes at Dennington, I feel like the people that I made those IDs for. I'm always being watched by these people who are just waiting for me to mess up.
I really don't think that's true. I mean, they gave you a scholarship.
Yeah, because I'm smart. I want to go to college. I want to be an engineer.
I think it's great that you know what you want to do. I have all these ideas, but people keep telling me that I'm unrealistic. And I have friends here, but they don't really know who I am.
That's what I'm saying, Dakota. Just because people expect you to be something doesn't mean you have to be it.
She looks him up and down. Later, Jason walks up to his house to see his mom and Harold Smirkonish loading up a moving truck with boxes.
You missed visiting hours again today.
I've been practicing a little bit. What are you doing here?
Just came by to drop off some paperwork. I saw your mom was packing all this stuff up herself, so...
Okay, well, I'm here now.
Jason, please. I don't want you to think of me as the bad guy.
You're making us move out of the headmaster's house before he's even gone to trial.
I'm sorry. I represent the board. It's not just my decision.
Is the president of the board that's just a title, then?
Harold smiles slightly and glances to see where Sarah is.
I wish I wasn't the one to have to tell you this, but your dad's going to plead guilty. They know he broke the law. There's no way around it. And even with a plea deal, he's going to do time.
You don't know that?
Harold lifts one corner of his mouth.
I don't have time for this.
Jason strides over to where the vocalist from his band has just pulled up and unloaded an amp.
What are you doing? We got practice at Max's. Just dropping off some of your stuff. Why? I thought you were driving.
The band wants a break.
What do you mean a break? We have to play the dance.
Right. Guys, I feel like you're not into this anymore. You missed practice 3 times.
What is that supposed to mean?
You know how you are. You're really into something until you're not.
You were probably going to quit anyways.
Look, you got a lot going on. I'm sorry. See you.
The band member drives off, and Jason turns to watch him go, his long bangs blowing in the wind. Now, Benny walks through a door into a small kitchen and steps past a gray-haired woman.
Hello.
Hey, Grandma.
How was school today?
Good.
Did you find out about the scholarship?
Not yet.
Well, when are you going to find out?
I don't know. Soon?
We need to know so we can make a plan in case it doesn't come through.
I'll talk to them tomorrow.
She crosses her arms.
Okay.
At night on the campus, Jason sits on an upturned rowboat, gazing out at a still lake.
Hey, I thought I saw you down here. Why aren't you at Junabelle's party?
He shrugs as Alice sits beside him.
What are you still doing at school?
Just at the computer lab. It's kind of nice at night. Quiet.
Jason peers up toward the night sky, his eyes glistening.
My dad pleaded guilty. So, guess he really did it.
Shit. I'm so sorry.
Just can't respect him anymore, you know what I mean?
Parents do shitty things. I mean, my parents cheat on each other, and they think it's fine because they come home for dinner and act like everything is totally normal.
It's awful.
Her dark bobbed hair shifts in the breeze.
Just used to it.
He glances at her, then away.
Yeah, but they're the ones who are supposed to have their shit together.
Yeah.
Have it figured out.
So I think, if they're cheating, why can't we cheat the system a little bit? If the adults are the ones who mess things up, then why do they get to tell us how it's gonna be?
It's just the thing, though, I don't know that I'm the kind of guy who...
His brow furrows.
I don't know,
Who finishes sentences?
Who finishes anything, apparently.
You're doing your best, I think.
Are you always so cool about everything?
Cool?
Yeah. Like, cool and collected. Funny, you know. Resourceful, too.
Resourceful?
Yeah.
Well, now you're just trying to sound smart again.
Their eyes lock. Jason looks down at her small cupid bow lips. They hold hands, lacing their fingers together as they perch on the upturned boat, then lean in close.
What?
He pulls away, brushing back his hair.
Maybe we shouldn't complicate things. We just started.
Right. And after we're finished, you'll just pretend that I don't exist.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I just think that...
Sure. If you need a grade or a schedule change or to break into a government institution, I'm sure I'll be the first person you call. I have to go.
She storms off. Students pour in the front door of a large suburban house to attend Junabelle's party. Inside, Benny leans into a kitchen counter holding a beer, and Dakota crosses the crowded room to join him.
Hey.
Hey.
She stands next to him at the counter.
I thought you never come to these things.
His full lips curl up into a slight smile.
I kind of figured you'd be here, so...
She grins and closes her eyes, then looks away.
Well, I'm glad you did.
They both turn to look in each other's eyes.
I like talking to you.
I like talking to you, too.
They each gaze down at the counter.
I was thinking about what you said. I was thinking about it a lot, actually.
I'm sorry we didn't get to talk more. That was stupid. Silly.
She searches his face, and they both lean in, their lips touching in a gentle kiss.
We can't.
Dylan and his egg-throwing buddy walk down the stairs and into the room.
Hey, Benny. What are you doing here?
Wow. Not used to seeing you at these things.
Guess I didn't realize I needed your permission to come to someone else's party.
Oh, just you're in North Philly, right? How many buses did it take to get here?
Dylan.
No, we're just trying to be nice. Get to know him a little bit.
You did time, right? Before transferring to Dennington?
Not really. No.
Please stop.
What? You actually want to hang out with this guy?
Listen, you don't need to be a dick.
Just call me a dick? Seriously, what are you doing here?
Stop.
No.
Benny steps forward.
I'm here because I'm friends with Dakota. Right?
Benny faces Dakota, and she turns to Dylan.
Just go. Hey, this is nothing. Please.
She's right. It's nothing.
Dylan pats Benny's shoulder as he and his friend leave. Dakota steps around to face Benny as he glares at her.
Sure you don't want to go with your friends?
She cringes.
I don't...
What, do you want? You want me to say it's okay so you don't have to feel bad?
Wait, what?
No, I get it. You gotta look out for you. None of these people care about you. Isn't that what you said?
No, I said they don't know the real me.
What's the difference? You're exactly what all these people think you are.
Her pale blue eyes narrow.
I think you should leave.
He nods sadly.
Yeah.
Benny's eyes glisten as he steps back, then turns and walks away from Dakota, leaving her alone in the middle of the room. In the mechanic's garage, the two girls sit by a laptop while Benny faces a workbench and Jason studies coin-making schematics.
Can we run it one more time, please?
Yeah. Alice has what she needs to manipulate the digital inventory, loop the security feeds, and put the design into production. Benny's fake die will be used to replace the real one that we altered last time and left there. The fake die is not sturdy enough to do an actual run, so it'll probably break. But when that happens, they'll just assume that it was faulty materials and replace the original on their own. So, we get in, we do the run, Alice covers our tracks virtually, and we get out.
If we get in. You realize if this doesn't go perfectly, we are all going to jail.
Dakota, we just...
Have you even spoken to your dad yet, Jay? Do you realize how bad this could be?
Shut up.
She's right. The production floor is complicated, and we're entirely relying on the fake IDs actually getting us in as the HVAC company.
The IDs will work. If anything goes wrong, it's not going to be on me.
How can you be so sure?
Seriously? You're going to question me after you barely made it past security?
I got us in, didn't I? If something goes wrong...
Stop saying that something's gonna go wrong, okay? I don't know what else you want from me here. I'm doing everything I know how to do. Okay? So let's all relax and figure out what's next. What else do we need?
Dakota pulls out a small notebook and thumbs through the pages.
Well, I need the song list for the winter formal on Saturday.
Yeah. About that, the band has split up.
What? When were you planning on telling me?
It's complicated.
You never go through with things. No wonder your band split up. And by the way, what about the quarters? How are we going to sell them? Have you thought about that?
I'm still working on that part.
I don't know how you expect people to trust you when you haven't even thought things through.
She glares at him.
Jay.
Would you stop calling me Jay, Dakota? Look, we're not together anymore. You don't own me. I will get your music, I will get the coins, and I will figure out everything for everybody. Okay? Does that sound good?
He looks at the others.
Does anybody else need anything while I'm at it?
They stare back at him, motionless, and he turns away.
You know what? This is over. Alice, take the coin out of production and delete it.
Jason,
just do it.
Alice's expression falls. She closes her laptop, grabs her bag, and strides out of the shop.
Good job.
Dakota leaves as well.
You know what? Yeah, this was a shit idea from the very start.
Now, in a prison visiting room, James Hodges sits at a small table next to his son.
Thanks for coming. Sorry you have to see me like this.
How could you do it? Not just to me, but to Mom and school, everybody you know. How could you be so selfish?
It's not like that. The board, they rejected my proposals for investing in new programs. They didn't want to take a risk. Now, Harold Smirkonish and I...
Wait, Smirkonish knew about this?
He didn't agree with the rest of the board. He said that I should go through with the investments. So I transferred the money into a private bank account. And he said he wouldn't tell the rest of the board until it had paid off. That was the plan.
Jason inhales.
It's not what you think. I just wanted to make a real difference.
Jason drops his head. In Alice's bedroom, she sits at a monitor wearing a headset, her eyes intense.
I know you're blowing off steam or whatever,
but can you not murder everyone in this village
before we finish the quest?
Greg and Alice play remotely. Her screen reads, "You died."
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I know it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but like, what would you do? We worked really hard on our whole design project thing, and now everyone just wants to drop out.
So what? Just make a new group. I don't know, maybe include your best friend, me, next time?
It's not like that, Greg. We were doing something important. Something that really mattered.
Like what? Extra credit?
Yeah.
She nods.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it were me, I would just go ahead and sign up for the extra credit anyway.
And tell them you already signed up and it's too late to bail, especially with all the work you did.
Then they'd have to help you finish it.
You know, that's not the worst idea.
She logs into the Mint.
Important decisions should not be left to the Jason Hodges of the world. Who knows? Probably thank you for it.
She drags a file to the coin production queue.
Shit, I did it.
Good. See, you just had to get it over with.
Her eyes narrow.
No, Saturday? That's too soon.
The screen reads, queue non-editable.
Never had a teacher make me turn something in on the weekend before.
Wait, isn't that the night of the dance? That's cruel. Rankin is such an asshole.
At the mechanic shop, the four stare at Alice's laptop.
No way.
It's locked. I'm so sorry. It was an accident.
Jason purses his lips.
What day is it scheduled for?
Saturday. Winter formal? Are you kidding? Nope.
Maybe we just let Alice's cue run on its own. If no one actually puts the die in the machine, it won't be able to stamp the design. Maybe they'll just think a machine malfunction.
Either way, we're screwed. If we don't show up on Saturday, then the die that we altered will go into the machine in a few weeks. Hacking isn't foolproof. If they suspect something, they'll trace it back to us.
She holds her face in her hands.
So we have to go through with it. We'll skip the dance.
No. I'm on the committee. And you still owe me for the music. Jason, the school needs this. And if I'm still in charge of alibis, I'm not letting either of us miss it. Especially with Rankin on our case. It's too suspicious.
Well, only one or two of us can actually go as the HVAC company, right?
So you and me, we'll...
I was thinking Benny and I.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down.
They glance at each other.
Okay. I'll work on getting the band back together so Dakota can pull off the stupid dance.
It is the winter formal. It's not stupid, it's important.
Not stupid, it's important. Benny and Alice, you guys will go in as the HVAC company, otherwise the plan should stay the same.
Back on the Dennington campus, a door swings open and the band's vocalist trots out, his dreadlocks swaying as he walks. Jason dashes out after him.
Zach, I need this.
No way, dude.
I lost everything because of what my dad did. Don't do this to me, too.
Zach glances downward.
Let's play the dance. Just one last gig.
Zach shakes his head.
It's also our first gig.
one gig.
But this doesn't mean the band's back together.
Deal.
Zach saunters off, and Jason turns slowly back toward the stairs. Now, Dakota brushes mascara to her lashes, then applies lipstick. Meanwhile, Alice types into her laptop. In the mechanic shop, Benny rubs his shaved head as he looks at a sketch of a coin die. Then he presses his molding putty onto the top of a die to reverse his coin impression. He trims off the excess material on the top of the die. Then he puts on gloves and gathers scraps of aluminum from the shop, snipping it into little pieces and dropping it inside a small cast iron crucible with a handle and pouring spouts. His face is reflected in a car's side view mirror sitting on the table where he works. He holds the blue flame of a torch to the bottom of the crucible, then pours the liquid metal into the mold cavity. In a humble apartment, Sarah Hodges looks up from paperwork as her son walks in wearing a suit and tie and carrying a guitar case.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You look nice.
Thanks.
He fidgets his fingers.
Just wanted to tell you, I know I haven't been very helpful. It's everything.
She nods.
I'm sorry.
Sarah grins warmly at her son.
It's okay.
Thanks.
Have a good time.
Meanwhile, Alice, wearing a simple black dress, puts her laptop in a bag, then checks herself out in a mirror. Benny chisels into the mold, cracking it open. He pulls out the shiny aluminum coin die he's just created, gazing at the original single-finned fish on its top. Later, dressed in a suit, Benny kisses his grandmother goodbye. Alice, still staring at her mirror, wipes lipstick off her mouth with the back of her hand. Now she greets Benny at her front door.
You look nice.
Likewise.
Wait! Where do you think you're going?
This is Benny, my date.
You guys aren't leaving. Not yet.
Not without pictures.
Come on in!
Wow. Come on. Okay, you two get together.
Her mom takes a photo.
We have to go.
Oh, bye, sweetie.
Wow.
In the cafeteria, Dakota looks at decorations.
You guys really ran with the whole lunch thing.
Weren't we supposed to?
Yeah. It looks amazing. Good job.
Thanks.
She sets down a cardboard cutout of two milkshakes and crosses to the stage.
Hey, why aren't you guys rehearsing?
Zach's not here, he's our singer.
What? For real? All right, okay.
The bass player lowers his cell.
He's not coming.
What?
Food poisoning.
Well, we need a singer.
The drummer shrugs.
I guess we gotta call it off then.
No! People are depending on us.
We can't play without a singer.
I mean, we can try to do a karaoke style.
Jason steps toward his ex-girlfriend.
Dakota.
No.
Dakota.
You do know all the songs.
No, I am not singing.
When we were still together, you helped me write practically every single one of them.
She stares at him.
There would be no band without you.
She glances toward the cardboard cutouts of food hanging everywhere.
Okay, let me see the set list.
In a van, Benny drives as Alice rides shotgun.
So you made sure we're on the HVAC schedule, right?
Yes.
And Dakota called and said that the regular HVAC guys won't be there, right?
Yeah, she called and sent an email.
And you're going to be able to loop the security footage?
Yeah, it's all ready on my computer. It's fine. We're fine. It's going well already. Go well.
They pull up beside the guard booth in front of the Mint's garage, a fake decal reading Simeone and Sons HVAC glistening on the side of the van.
Can I help you?
Yeah, we're here with Simeone and Sons HVAC. Just doing some scheduled maintenance.
The guard nods at Alice.
Who's that?
That is my niece.
Your niece?
Yep. Just brought her along for the night, doing a little internship, apprenticeship type thing.
He hands the bald booth guard his ID.
If it's a problem, you know, she can just wait in the van.
The man glares at them, then scans the ID card and hands it back to Benny.
Boiler room. You know the way.
Benny puts his ID away and slides down the van's steering wheel gear shift. The barrier gate arm in front of them rises up, and they pull forward into the garage. In a security office, a heavy-set guard sits near a monitor displaying parts of the Mint, including the boiler room. Benny pretends to check out the boiler while Alice works on her laptop.
How long is this gonna take?
Okay, got it. Let's go.
She closes her computer as he picks up a toolbox, then they dash off. In the security office, the image of the boiler room jumps as Alice's loop starts. The guard doesn't notice. At the cafeteria, Dakota talks on her phone.
No. No, you guys don't need to come. I called last night and said we don't need you. I don't understand. Hello? Shit.
Jason steps over to her, holding his guitar.
What?
The HVAC guy is still coming. I couldn't stop him.
We gotta go.
Now he closes his guitar case, a cutout of a chicken burger stuck to its side as they rush off.
Whoa. Where are you guys going?
We got a band emergency. So we had to get back to the rental place back in like an hour.
But you go on in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. See you then.
The two students dash out the door, Jason clutching his guitar case. On the desolate Mint production floor, a machine displays the coin production countdown, then shows stamping in progress. Alice and Benny run into the room, and she heads for the machine controls while he tears off for the metal storage cabinet. He opens a drawer and pulls out the modified die, replacing it with his homemade one. Benny jogs back across the room, passing Alice and swinging open the hatch to the coining press. He removes one of the industrial springs within and slides the altered die down into position, then sets the spring back on top of it and closes the hatch. They both sprint away as the machine begins stamping out coins. Now they peer inside the mechanism, watching coins spill out down a metal chute. The shiny discs pile up in a large metal bin until the monitor reads, "Stamping complete." Now it displays the words, "Begin polishing." Alice snatches a coin out of the large metal bin below the coining press chute and holds it under a lighted magnifying glass. The double fins look perfect. They each take a side of the full bin, running with it to the other side of the production floor. Alice sprints to the control panel of the coin washer, and Benny transfers coins from the large bin into multiple small trays made out of perforated sheet metal. She switches on the machine and rejoins Benny, loading all the small trays onto the device's conveyor belt. Benny lifts up the large bin and dumps out the last coins into the final tray. Alice puts this tray on the conveyor belt with the others, and it disappears into the device behind dangling flaps. Benny carries the large bin as they rush around to the other side of the washer. Steam rises from the first perforated tray of coins that slide out of the machine. In the security office, the heavy-set guard rises from his seat, takes a flashlight off the table, and heads out. Alice and Benny transfer their coins from the large bin to the toolbox as her cell goes off.
Jason and Dakota are coming, and so is the actual HVAC guy.
She closes the toolkit, and they duck down. The guard strolls through the production floor, shining his flashlight over the equipment. Alice and Benny cower on the ground underneath one of the machines as he passes right by them. The guard strides into the next area, swipes his ID card, and steps through the door that leads up to the offices. Alice and Benny start to pull themselves out of their hiding place.
Oh my god.
What is that?
She gazes around.
I think the machines are starting up again.
Outside, Jason and Dakota pull up just as the real HVAC truck heads into the garage.
No. What do?
Benny trots across the production floor carrying another full bin.
What's going on?
Sequence is queued up 10 times.
What does that mean?
We're making 20,000 quarters.
A monitor reads, sequence 3 in progress, as the machines spew out coins and they try to keep up. Outside, Jason and Dakota rush forward as his phone buzzes.
Alice.
What?
We need the guitar case.
The real HVAC man pulls up by the garage guard booth, and the bald guard squints at his ID.
We already let you guys in. They showed up about 20 minutes ago.
That's so weird. Someone called me, told me not to come in.
I just want to check out our duct work from last week. Okay?
One second.
The guard faces his shoulder walkie.
I need you to check the boiler room. We might have a situation.
10-4.
In the office break room, the heavyset guard sets a mug down and heads back downstairs. Unseen below him, Benny runs across the factory floor carrying another full bin. The bald booth guard and real HVAC man stride over to meet the heavyset guard at the boiler room.
You got a problem.
Jason runs toward the building carrying his guitar case with Dakota close behind. The machine readout says, sequence 10 in progress. Alice leads Jason and Dakota onto the production floor, and they rush past Benny as he runs by with another bin. Jason and Alice dash to another bin sitting near the chute at the foot of the coining press. He pops open his guitar case, and they both lift the bin and dump the coins inside the empty case. They close the case and lug it across the room together. They spin and dash away from the noise. Dakota and Benny, each hefting perforated trays full of coins, slip into a side room, ducking down below the windows as the heavy-set guard passes. In the lobby, the booth guard runs into Glenn and his partner.
Great.
Hi, you want to back up?
Not you two. What's wrong with us two?
Nothing.
Follow me.
Hurry up!
Jason and Alice crouch behind machinery as a guard passes.
What are you doing?
We're only gonna have 5 minutes until the feeds are live after we reset the security cameras.
Alice, out.
We gotta go.
They rise and slip away. Dakota and Benny stand in their dimly lit hiding place.
Hey, I'm sorry about what I said the other day.
She swallows.
It's just... you know I like you.
The corners of her lips raise up slightly.
Yeah.
The others run past.
Let's go.
The guards and HVAC guy converge.
Watch the monitors.
What about us?
Just stay out of the way.
The ducks are good.
The four students dash out into the garage, laden with their coins. They sprint over to the fake HVAC van, and Jason throws open the two back doors as Benny hops behind the wheel. Coins spill out from Dakota's full tray, then she and Jason scramble to scoop them back up. The bald booth guard tears across another part of the garage, scanning the area. Benny pops the hood.
Alice!
Alice runs over to hop in the driver's seat as Benny reaches under the hood.
Try it when I tell you.
Okay.
Dakota and Jason struggle to pick up the last few coins. Dakota takes her heels off and runs off as the guard closes in.
Try it!
Jason slides the refilled tray in the back and closes the doors, then sprints off after Dakota. The van backs up and heads across the garage with Alice and Benny inside. In the security office, the heavyset guard stares at his monitors.
I don't see him.
The bald guard leans into his shoulder walkie.
They have to be here.
Parking garage is empty.
Now, Benny pulls the van to a stop and gazes into his rearview mirror. He turns to Alice, and they grin at each other.
Okay.
They pull away. Nearby, Dakota waits in her driver's seat as Jason hops in beside her.
Someone's watching us.
They see a man in the distance looking toward the Mint.
Rankin. He followed us.
Okay. Come on.
They drive away as Rankin strides closer to the building, notices something on the ground, and picks it up. It's the chicken burger cardboard cutout that was attached to Jason's guitar case. He turns and rushes off. Back at the winter formal in the Dennington Prep cafeteria, elegantly dressed students line up for refreshments while others stand waiting in front of the empty stage. Mr. Rankin bursts in the door and storms through the crowd.
Have you guys seen Hodges and Dakota? Guys, have you seen Hodges and Dakota? Okay, it's our job to chaperone.
Rankin glances toward the stage and sees the bass player, then the other band members step out through the blue tinsel curtain on the back wall. The teacher squints as he watches Jason strap on his guitar and Dakota step up to the microphone. Faces in the audience smile. More students gather around the stage area. The crowd bounces to the rhythm. Dakota takes in the scene before her. Tilts her head backward, then rolls it forward, leaning her hand on the microphone stand and rocking the mic back and forth to the music, as students dance before her. Raise their arms high in the air and jump up and down. Rankin turns away from the performance to see Alice and Benny walk slowly into the cafeteria. He turns back to the show, his brow knitted. Later, students slow dance under a spinning mirror ball as Dakota continues singing.
Brother, tell me now. You got this far, haven't figured out.
Alice stands alone in the middle of the room, her arms crossed over her chest as she gazes over at the stage.
The part in which we dive beneath the sunny drinking boat. If you and I
Greg, dressed in a suit, slouches over to her.
Hey, I thought you had a project due tonight.
We just turned it in, actually.
And why are you just standing here looking so miserable?
She glances away from him, biting her lip.
I'm sorry, Greg.
For what?
You were right. I thought it was more than a project, but they were just using me, like you said.
Greg gazes over at the band. He tightens his lips and exhales, bobbing his head.
I don't know about that.
Alice looks up at him.
It seems like he does actually like you for some reason. I mean, like he's staring at you, like right now.
Jason's eyes are locked on Alice from across the room.
It's kind of weird. I'll see you around.
Greg shrugs and lopes off. Alice smiles at him as he leaves, then looks over to see Jason still gazing across at her.
Baby.
He turns away embarrassedly, and Alice walks off. Later, on the other side of the tinsel curtain, Jason and Dakota trot away from the stage.
Dakota, that was incredible.
Thanks. Where are you going?
You can play the next one without me.
You're the lead guitarist. We can't.
The other band members pass.
Great job. Thanks, you too.
Wait like 5 minutes.
He dashes away, and Dylan enters.
Hey, look, you can't be back here.
I thought you were my date. I haven't seen you all night. Now you're back here with Hodges?
I was on stage singing with the band.
Yeah, when did that happen?
Does it matter?
Dylan squirms in his gray suit.
Let's go back to the one I'm hanging out.
No. I think we should break up.
What?
This isn't working out anymore.
She steps away.
Are you kidding me?
Outside, Jason finds Alice sitting cross-legged on a bench.
What are you doing out here?
I don't know. Aren't you in the middle of your big performance or whatever?
He strides over and sits down next to her.
Ask for a break.
She doesn't meet his eyes.
I didn't mean to mess things up with you. Just wanted to say that. And, sorry.
She turns to him. Then Mr. Rankin sidles over with the burger cutout in his hand.
Found your chicken burger? Let's go. Now.
The teacher marches away, and Jason and Alice rise and follow him. Now, Rankin and the four students stand next to Dakota's car.
Open it.
The bearded teacher glances in the open door.
What's in the toolbox, Jason? Open it, Jason.
Jason leans in the car door and flips open the top of the toolbox, revealing the quarters. He pivots away from the vehicle, and Rankin, arms crossed, walks forward and peers into the box. The teacher gazes at Jason and nods.
Okay. Now we call the cops.
In the cafeteria.
During a very challenging semester, we would particularly like to thank the president of the board, Harold Smirkonish.
Thank you, Ms. Coyle. And thank you, Pennington Prep students. I know it's not fair to sacrifice your extracurricular activities and programs, but I thought you should know that your headmaster, your former headmaster, will be facing consequences for his actions.
Rankin leads them in.
Now is not the time, Hodges.
Before you call the police, don't you think the president of the board would want to know first?
And I want to thank you for letting me have these few words with you, and enjoy the rest of your winter formal. Good night.
Jason, what are you doing?
Rankin heads for Harold Smirkonish as he leaves the stage.
Sir, hi. I'm Todd. Todd Rankin. I teach art and design. We've met before. Can I just have a moment of your time?
Harold looks at Jason and the others standing behind Rankin.
Sure. Jason. Dakota. Follow me.
The six walk out of the cafeteria. They gather in an office, which still has a nameplate reading James Hodges on the desk Harold now sits behind.
This is a very serious situation.
Mm-hmm. And they've been planning it for a while. They've been skipping class, and tonight I found out that they were using school resources.
I've heard enough. Let me see the quarter.
Jason blinks, then stands and reaches into his pants pocket and hands a coin across the desk to Harold. The president of the board inspects it.
So, here's what's going to happen. You're going to give everything you have to me. I'll handle turning it all over to the authorities. I'd advise the four of you to get lawyers, as the police will undoubtedly start asking questions quite soon. Needless to say, you're all expelled. We'll take care of this as quietly as possible, and that'll be the end of it.
Benny bows his head, and Dakota's brow furrows.
You don't understand. We did all of this for the school. We love Dennington. You have to believe us.
I do believe you, Dakota. But that doesn't alter the fact that your actions were highly illegal, which comes at a price. The last thing we want for Dennington Prep is to be in the headlines again for fraudulent activity.
You know all about handling fraudulent activity, don't you?
Excuse me?
I know that you gave my dad the go-ahead on investing the school's endowment.
Well, we're talking about an entirely different matter here. This has nothing to do with that.
You're always going to save yourself.
Okay, Jason, this is highly inappropriate behavior right now.
I'm just trying to help Mr. Smirkonish here. I mean, if he really wants to save himself, he won't turn these quarters over to the police.
Of course he will.
What are you saying, Jason?
I'm saying that the error coin we created has never existed before. By introducing it to auction houses at strategic times, you could have one of the most valuable coins on the market, and you would own the entire collection.
And the mint?
They don't know.
They'll never know how it happened. They will be able to verify the authenticity of that coin.
Okay, this is insane.
Jason's lips tighten as he stares at Harold, who looks from side to side.
How did you do this?
He can't really get too into that.
What do you want for them?
Sir, you're not actually considering this as a possibility.
Harold waves dismissively.
Immunity. For all of us.
And a guarantee you'll fill the school's endowment with an anonymous donation.
What is happening?
Let me see all of them.
He pushes his chair back from the desk. Jason lifts the toolbox from the floor and places it on the desk in front of Harold, who opens it. The president of the board gazes down at all the gleaming coins within.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because we could certainly do a lot more business if you hand all of them over to me, son.
I am very sure. 2,000 quarters. Do we have a deal?
Harold licks his lips.
Fine. Deal.
Sir, I'm sorry. Excuse me, but I don't think it's a really good idea to be enabling these kids and starting some sort of...
Thanks for bringing them here, Mr.
Rankin. Todd Rankin. We have met 1,000 times. I teach art and design.
I think you should stop shouting at these kids, Mr. Rankin. They've done us all a big favor. And saved your job.
Rankin glares at the four students. Now, Jason, Dakota, Benny, and Alice step from the headmaster's office and into the hallway, followed close behind by Mr. Rankin.
How'd you know that would work?
Didn't. But I watched a lot of heist movies.
What are we gonna do with the rest of the coins?
You're smart kids.
They turn to him.
Get rid of them. I'll see you guys Monday.
He strolls away, his hands in his pockets. The gang looks at each other.
I got an idea.
They follow Jason as he trots down a few steps and pushes through two sets of tall wooden glass double doors leading to the dark night outside. The doors slowly swing shut behind them as they climb down the front steps of the building and disappear into the shadows beyond. In the light of day, party streamers dangle from an outside door handle, a cardboard cutout of French fries lies in the dirt, and sagging balloons glisten in the sunlight. The four students stand in a row, still in their formal wear, staring at the metal sculpture.
It's not that bad.
I kind of like it. It's literally made of money.
The sculpture now features a large round disc nestled amid all the squares.
Last four.
Jason hands them each a quarter. They look at their coins, then back at the artwork. The rough metal disc they've added stands out among all the straight, smooth lines of the sculpture.
You got anywhere you need to be?
Not right now.
I guess.
Bye.
Jason and Alice saunter off.
So...
Benny glances at Dakota.
Is your boyfriend coming to pick you up?
No. That's over.
He blinks and looks away.
Hey, I'm really sorry I let him talk to you like that.
Yeah. That was the worst.
I know.
Benny looks at the ground, and Dakota lifts her chin.
You want to start over?
They share a smile. Now, raindrops splash on the surface of the Dennington Lake under an overcast sky. Jason and Alice sit on the upturned rowboat and gaze out at the water.
It's funny, I thought this whole thing
It's about following through with something good. Different. At the end of the day, I think people like Smirkonish are the ones who always win.
I think we did what we had to do.
She nods solemnly.
I'm not coming back to school in the fall.
What? Why? We just saved the school.
I just don't want to be my dad's legacy here.
He swallows, staring off.
I want to leave all of that behind. With the statue and everything that we did here tonight.
Okay.
He looks intently at her.
I'm not skipping town or anything.
She straightens up slightly.
Getting to know you has been one of the best things to happen to me in a really long time.
Alice smiles inwardly and touches her forehead.
I'm not just going to give all that up because I'm moving schools.
She looks toward the ground.
You're so smart. Good at knowing who you are. I'm still trying to learn how to do that. So I don't know if this is making any sense. What?
She turns to him, eyes bright.
You know, if you're trying to sound smart, I think it might actually be working this time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They lock eyes, then they both lean in and gently touch their lips together in a tender kiss.
Brother, tell me now how you got this far but haven't given out. I fantasized about our future self, the part in which we died beneath the sunny drinking bell.
Back at the quad, the metal sculpture glistens in the daylight, the thin squares comprising it secured together with interlocking joints notched out on the sides of each shiny metal plate.
Grandpa, on the platform, staring at his knees, it got so warm. A penny on his shoes to keep him checked.
The new addition of the thick metal disc sits near the center of the sculpture. Carved into its rough-hewn side are four tiny sets of initials which read J-H-A-D-D-C-B-Y. Cut to black. Credits roll. Co-producer, Rhiannon Cooper. Line producer, Claire Skoronek. Unit production manager, Cassandra Santiago. First Assistant Director, Laura Klein. Second Assistant Director, Andreas Donahue. Associate Producers, Bonnie Blue Edwards, Stephen Christensen, Marie Halliday.
Feels like starting over every time. No matter what you say or choose, you never get it right. So far what I've learned is that it doesn't hurt to try. Till it does, I'll do my best tonight. Baby, come on back. Your feet are oh so dirty from those tracks. I wish that I had met you on the way, instead of at the start where I could not find what to say. Regrets like saying no and being fickle general sway. We don't really talk so much these days. No, we don't really talk so much these days.
country of first publication, United States of America. CoinHeist LLC is the author of this motion picture for purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. This motion picture was created by CoinHeist LLC for purposes of copyright law in the United States. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The characters and incidents portrayed are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person living or dead is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Copyright 2016 CoinHeist LLC, all rights reserved. CoinHeist. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.